Bitter cold had worked its way into some of his old wounds, and Abe had more scars than any other 10 men put together. Scars teased their way across his body, some of them seaming through the taut flesh of his face. The broken and badly set bones in his arms and legs ached, as did the numerous injuries to muscles, tendons, and ligaments. He hated winter, hated snow in the mountains. And here he was, condemned to an isolated hut in the high country, at the heart of one of the worst blizzards he'd ever seen.
Fuck it.
Abe leaned back, his bare feet pushed toward the flickering flames of the tiny fire that he'd just started. There was a temptation to pile on the precious kindling and bank up the hacked and broken branches and logs that Abe had found heaped out back of the cabin. Abe wasn't that worried for his own survival. He knew enough to be sure that he could make it for several more days yet. There was snow to quench his thirst, enough wood to keep a fire going for a while. That and the roof and walls would shelter him from the worst of the gale. And he had strips of jerky in his pack. Not that exciting, but it would keep body and soul together.
Fuck you, traitor. Oh, fuck everyone.
Abe frequently slipped away into the nebulous world of half-sleeping, half-waking, and the hours slid by, almost without Abe noticing them passing. Once he thought he heard someone banging on the door of the cabin, rattling the great bar of wood that acted as a security bolt. By the time he'd got up and grabbed his stainless steel Colt Python, the noise had ceased. But when he checked carefully, Abe found that there were deep gouges in the outside of the door that hadn't been there before, and the thick snow was trampled with what he knew were the tracks of a bear. A large bear. The only window in the hut was high on the eastern side, near the level of the dipping roof, and it was normally well above the reach of any normal predator. But the fresh snow had piled up against the walls and frozen, creating an easily scalable drift. Abe had been intending to go out and shift it away, but the wind was howling and the glowing embers of his fire were far more attractive. But he did take the basic precaution of checking that the small iron catch on the inside of the square window was safely locked. He was confident that it would be a remarkable animal that managed to get in through there. Outside the cabin, there was a full moon, its sharp-edged brightness flooding into the line shack through the glass of the single small window, through the jagged, splintered glass. Abe was lying flat on his back, his legs straight, his arms at his sides, under the double layer of his quilted sleeping bag. He was pinned onto the narrow frame by a heavy weight that lay sprawled on top of him. The breath that feathered against his stubbled chin was hot and rancid, like the sweetness of decayed and rotted meat in a forest glade. His eyes blinked open, staring in unbelieving horror into the yellow, slitted eyes of a big cat. It was lying full length, its face within inches of his. Abe felt a momentary looseness of his bowels, but he fought against messing himself. The jaws of the creature gaped open as it yawned, showing canine teeth that were at least 6 inches long, slightly curved. Abe was aware that the animal was purring contentedly, the vibration making his own body tremble. Now he had an idea of what had broken into the cabin during the night. It looked like some sort of cougar, with fur the color of fresh cream. But it was far bigger than any comparable creature that Abe had ever seen. Its head and front paws were on his shoulders, but its haunches seemed to be hung over the bottom end of the bed, making it around 8 to 10 feet long. Abe's manly effort not to lose control over his bodily functions came to nothing when the big cougar opened its mouth wider and pushed out its tongue, starting to run it caressingly over Abe's face.
Oh, fuck.
The stink of the muty animal's vile breath made him want to vomit, knowing that to give in to that temptation would be the same as swallowing the muzzle of his blaster and pulling the trigger. Moving with infinite slowness, Abe wriggled his right hand, trying to free it from the constrictions of the sleeping bag. His Colt Python was just under the bed, about level with his head, on the right side. He remembered putting it there. He always put it there. The cougar had stopped licking his face, as though it sensed that he was moving. Abe lay as still as death, trying to count his heartbeats, but they were coming so fast he kept losing track of them. He waited until he reckoned there'd been around 1,000, then he tried to free his right arm again. This time there was no mistake. Abe felt an overwhelming temptation to try to smile placatingly at the huge creature, show those implacable yellow eyes that he meant no harm. But he knew someone had told him that predators regarded a smile as a threatening gesture. Could have been JB told him that. Burying the teeth was a double aggressive thing to do. Or was it the other way? Was it a submissive gesture to show you weren't a threat? One paw, the size of Abe's head, lifted as he watched paralyzed, and the razored claws unsheathed, touching him on the side of the face as delicately as embroidery needles, piercing his skin. Four tiny threads of blood ran warmly down his cheek. But his arm was free. He moved his fingers along the dusty, splintered floor, glacier slow, feeling for the familiar chill of the metal against his hand. Abe was suddenly aware of the smell of his own body. Sweat, shit, and fear. There. The butt slipped into his hand, his palms slick with perspiration. He started to lift the gun an inch at a time. Now the massive paws settled against his throat, touching the throbbing pulse of his jugular, as tender as the embrace of a familiar lover. By moving his head a fraction to the right, straining his eyes, Abe could now see the silver moonlight of the polished cylinder of the revolver. There was only going to be one chance. Even if he got everything right, there was a better than even chance that the cougar would still erupt into violence and rip Abe's head from his body.
Oh. One chance is better than no fucking chance.
The great amber orbs turned impassively toward Abe's mouth. The Colt was lifting, almost without his control, like some miraculous levitation. The tip of the 4-inch muzzle brushed the bristling albino fur and moved behind the pricked ear of the motionless cougar. Abe tried to brace his wrist, difficult in his clumsy frozen position, then pulled the trigger. The .357 kicked against Abe's hand. The cougar swung its paw in a vicious, scything blow that would have shredded the flesh from his face, but Abe wasn't there anymore. The movement combined with the effects of the bullet in its head to send the muty animal sideways off the narrow bed. Abe rolled across the wooden floor, gripping the butt of the Colt, coming up from a crouch, facing the horror on the far side of the room. It was standing stiff-legged, fur bristling along its spine, making it look twice its gigantic size. There was a little blood darkening the milky fur, leaking from a black wound near its left ear. Its mouth was open, and sticky threads of saliva dangled from the curved fangs. The muscles in his haunches were twitching, as though it were gathering itself for a spring. Abe looked into the slit eyes and saw his death reflected there. The Colt Python held 6 magnum rounds, 1 gone, 5 rounds to go. Abe brought the gun up and held it as steady as he could, supporting his right wrist with his left hand. His breath was flooding the room like mist from a faulty geyser, and he could hear his heart pounding. He knew better than to pour the bullets out in a volley. The kick of the blaster would destroy his aim, so it was careful, measured shooting. The bullet hit the cougar somewhere behind its shoulder, ripping through the muscle and angling sideways so it burst from its flanks, near the 5th rib, in a welter of dark spray. The impact made it stagger, but it was still on its feet, turning its head to snap angrily at the fresh wound. Abe was losing his fight against stark, paralyzing terror, and the 3rd bullet missed completely, missed at a range of less than 10 feet. But the noise made the animal shake its head, taking a careful step toward the crouching man, its long tail swinging to and fro across the floor.
Fuck you!
The 4th round hit the cat in the shoulder, knocking it off its feet, sending it rolling on its side, one front paw dangling uselessly.
I'll teach you to...
The cougar battled itself upright again.
Oh, shit.
A 5th bullet drilled it smack between the eyes, and finally, the cougar was still. Abe finally regained his courage and crawled over, putting the barrel of the Colt Python between the bloody jaws, firing the 6th and last round to blow away a chunk of the animal's skull, splattering brains on the far wall of the cabin. Abe went and slid across the security bolt, walking into the freezing night, and puked in the fresh, bright snow. The cougar meat made good eating for several days. At Ryan's request, Professor Tomlett had sent out recon parties going by boat, keeping well offshore, using a couple pairs of field glasses to scan the beaches. They went both north and south, ranging as far as the sun-dried remains of Key West and up to Key Largo, in sight of the nuke-blasted mainland. During the second day back at the Institute, Ryan sat and waited for a positive sighting, but the boats came chugging back to the docks again and again, with no sign of any danger. Tomlin brought a bottle of dry white wine that he said had come from France in Europe well over 100 years earlier, but there was no label on it, and everyone wrinkled up their noses, complaining it tasted dry and bitter.